Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Interspecies Communications here at Car Talk Plaza.
I like it. Interspecies. Oh.
Yeah, here's an interesting article that appeared a couple of weeks ago in Newsweek, I think. It's a blurb about a book called Spoken Cat, where author and wacko, apparently, Alexandra Sellers claims to have interpreted cat language.
She's nuts.
And, well, in her book, she tells you how to speak cat. For instance, ma means cut that out, and means bring me some cream. And I happen to know from my own experience that ma means, oh, no, not down the laundry chute again. Can't I take the stairs? Anyway, this is obviously silliness, but
it is,
but it got
stupidity.
Me thinking that if interspecies communication is possible between humans and felines,
yeah,
why not between humans and automobile mechanics?
Yeah.
So
I like it.
With my vast expertise and having spent years in the mechanic's natural habitat.
Yeah.
Of grease
and
grime,
it would be good for humanity if there were communication between those two species.
Well, so you know how to interpret some of the sounds that you hear in the shop.
Yeah.
So I thought I would teach the general public a few expressions that can be used and or understood when talking to one's mechanic. For instance, you listen carefully to the inflection so you don't...
I'm going to try to guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. What does that mean?
Wait, do that again.
Mm.
That little upward inflection at the end.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
No idea.
That means, hi, how are you?
Oh, all right. I was looking for some deeper meaning, but I guess that was stupid.
We're starting off slow because
off slow.
this is tough.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's different?
Yeah, well, the first one was, mm-hmm.
Oh, that was,
this is, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That means, I think I know what's wrong with this car.
No, you're going too deep. It means, fine, thanks.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of life, and why are we here on this planet?
Mm-hmm means clutch job.
Boat payment. Well, how do you say boat payment?
Where are we getting to that?
You are. Yeah. Oh, you are in a lot of trouble.
That's right. It, which equates to?
Boat payment.
Many boat payments.
Many boat payments. Yeah, this is good. I like it.
Yeah.
A whole boat.
There you go.
A liner.
Here's one more.
The transmission fell on my foot.
There you go.
Not the laundry chute again.
And none of these expressions should be confused with.
Let me feel it again now. I know
that's the sound you make after we do takeout from Sam's. Anyway, if you'd like to call us about your car or communication with your mechanic, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ron Hatch from La Mesa.
La Mesa, which we know means the table.
The table.
The table, right.
Yeah, what's Durango
Did you
mean?
Say Ron Hedge?
Yes, I did.
A classmate of mine,
a
Ron Hedge?
A veritable classmate.
Holy cow.
No kidding.
That's
and you're
right.
Still alive?
I'm...
Hey, Steve Corman emailed me.
No.
And we're trying to plan a reunion of the 515 Club.
Oh, my God. That could be a disaster.
when Ron Hatch,
right,
and I were at the Toot, as we call it, the
right,
Massachusetts Institute of Technology, we were part of a sort of, I hate to use the word elite, it was sort of like the dregs of the institute, the ones who couldn't afford to live on campus.
That's right.
And we commuted.
And they but stuck you had, in a basement,
they
a
stuck
dark
in
basement.
The bowels basement of Walker Memorial.
Oh, jeez.
You remember it well, don't
do
you?
I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the education, though, Tom.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. But,
and so we were all members of this so-called 515 Club because we were supposed to be catching the 515
right,
train
which
to go
home.
Which
we never did because we were playing bridge and
we were playing
right, and
poker,
sleeping on the sofas.
Right. Hey, Ron, it's a pleasure to hear from you.
Boy, I tell you, I've been listening to you guys, and every, you know, when I first heard your show, you know, I heard you laughing, and I said, God, that sounds an awful lot like Tom Maglione. I said, you know, it's amazing what a degree from MIT and a PhD will do for you. I mean, yeah. You really sunk down a long way.
Hey, so
well, that's great. It's nice. All the small talk is nice. Let's get on to the important stuff.
All right.
You have a question or not? If not, get off.
All right.
Who's this younger punk?
That was the alleged reason. No, but actually, yeah. I do have a question.
Yeah.
I have a 1989 probe. It's got about 150,000 miles on it,
mm-hmm.
of which the last 75,000 have had a check engine light on. So, I mean, being the kind of a techno elitist that I am, I couldn't stand to pay somebody $60 to put a voltmeter on it and tell me that it needed an oxygen defibrillator or whatever. So, I mean, here I am. I keep asking around. I figured someone will put a voltmeter on it and tell me, but no, it's all this big secrecy thing of, you know, we have to figure it out, and it has to go to the dealer and stuff. And so,
well, you've proven that it can't have been that important.
Right, 50,000 miles later.
Where is La Mesa? In what state?
Actually, it's in just outside of San Diego.
Well, La Mesa, California.
Yeah.
Now, when you go for your biennial smog test,
right.
Do you pass?
Yes.
Do you bribe? No, huh?
I guess he does. Well, if you pass, that's good. It means it's even less important than we thought. 75,000. I mean, right. It may just have been, I wonder what the probe.
Well, you may have a sensor that's slightly out of spec, and you may need an oxygen sensor. And,
uh-huh.
And the only way to really know, there are two ways you can know. You could test the oxygen sensor separately. And if you had a digital voltmeter, you could read the signal that it puts out.
Of course he's got a digital voltmeter.
Right.
Oh, yes, of course. I have one in every room.
But you'd need to know the spec. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And you need to find out if it's putting out the right amount of juice.
Okay.
And if it isn't, then you could replace it.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, if it hasn't destroyed the engine by in 75,000 miles,
right.
If you send us $20, Ron, we will send you the Car Talk official black tape, which fits perfectly over that check engine light. It will
right
never bother you again.
I think that's a great solution.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, let us know what melts.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, and email me, will you?
I will.
Cool.
See ya.
Thanks for having the great show, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye
really
bye, Ronnie.
Talking to you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Jeez, another one of your
another self unemployed.
Another classmate of yours that survived.
There can only be you know when you go to the reunion and they only have like one table?
Yeah.
For the class of your class. That's it.
That's it.
One
you guys
table.
Are hardly
six guys.
Badly represented. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Mount Vernon, Washington.
Hi, Julie. What's up?
Well, actually, I have a question for you that's more of a marriage question than a car question.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go for a sandwich.
I need you guys to help me out. It's a question of whether I should fess up to something or not.
Oh,
boy. I'm driving a 1985 Volkswagen Vanagon, and the other day, about a month ago, actually, I came out from the store, and I swear to God there was nobody behind me.
And you hit that nobody, didn't you?
I hit that nobody. He suddenly appeared, and I hit him, backed into him, and I got out, and I didn't see any damage on his car or my car. So, I looked around, and there was no damage, so I just got in my car, and I went home.
And more importantly, there were no witnesses.
That's what
she said.
I got out of there quickly. No, I really did look, and I didn't see anything. So
yeah.
If I would have seen something, I would have gone back in and found the owner.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
So the next night, my husband and I go out to dinner, and we're coming back to the car, and he sees this huge dent in the fender.
Oh.
And he says, oh, my God, what moron would hit us?
And then drive away.
And then drive away. And there was my opportunity to say, oh, honey, that moron was me.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I said, well, maybe they left a note on the windshield. And I let it go. And so he's out in the garage the next day pounding the bumper out going, who could do this?
Yeah.
And I still didn't fess up to it.
Mm.
So I've been feeling kind of guilty.
Why?
And I wanted to know from you guys, do you think it's worth telling him at this point, or should I just let it go?
Well, you're sure that this is a dent that was inflicted in the situation that you described?
I'm pretty sure it is. I would doubt anybody would run into us.
Well, the more important question is, it may have been the guy that you had hit. Maybe sought his revenge. Maybe he spied you from afar. But if you did this to your car,
yep.
Chances are, and you didn't notice it,
uh-huh.
Chances are that you did something equally as damaging to his car.
I think so.
And didn't notice that either.
How could you not notice?
Well, when the kids are screaming in the car.
And they were. And the dog was barking.
The dog is barking.
I was
and
all
it's late.
Out.
You have to get back home to cook supper for your darling husband.
Yep.
Things can disappear. It can happen.
See,
now, we have always been proponents of absolute truth.
Absolute, huh?
Well, we have.
Right, hold on. We have always. In this particular case, I would try to find some rationale for forgetting all about it.
Well, I do have...
I don't see any repercussions here.
Oh, no, there are deep repercussions. I mean, it has everything to do with the...
Well, I didn't tell you the other thing I did.
It's going to shake the foundations
there's more to the story.
Just a little bit more.
Go ahead, Julie.
About a week before I backed into somebody, you know how these things have a vent on the top that you can open to let air in?
Yes.
Well, I opened the vent, and my son and I went in the library because I left the dog in the car.
You have
so
to.
I wanted to have some air.
Yeah.
And I told her to remind me that the vent was open.
Yeah.
And she forgot.
Yeah.
And I drove into the garage with it open.
Uh-huh.
And I sheared it off. And I knocked the garage door off its hinge. And that one I had to fess up to because I couldn't get the
It's hard to you can't forget that one when the garage door is laying on top of the roof of the van.
Yeah, that one was kind of tough to fake.
Yeah.
So he didn't know about that one.
Oh, I see. So on the heels of that little fiasco, you felt it might not be a really good idea to fess up to this other little incident.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. You know, I have a...
Lest he think that you are a flaco.
See, I think you may have to just sweep this one under the rug and hope that your husband doesn't listen to the show, does he?
He does, but I've got a way to stop that.
You do.
Certainly.
He records it, but I can accidentally flip the switch and oops.
Oh, but see, now
you're getting deeper and deeper.
That's the trouble.
Pretty soon you'll be hiring ex-KGB agents to jam the radio transmission coming out of your NPR station. I think you're going to have to tell them.
You think so?
Yeah, because if you don't, we're going to call.
Well, see, you just told us a way that it can get deeper. I mean, I thought there were no repercussions, but now you're ready to perpetrate another little lie to cover up the first one, and that's the trouble with lying. If it were I would say, you know, hon, you know that dent? I may have done that. Because a couple of nights before we were out at that restaurant, I remember someone crashing into me.
Oh, no.
No, I remember backing up into somebody, and I didn't see any damage. But now that I think of it, it may have been me.
You think I should?
Because as soon as you can visualize it getting more complicated, I mean, you can imagine what it's going to lead to. My God, I can see it happening. It could be the beginning of World War II. Or have we already had that?
We already had that one, I think.
All right, three.
Nip it in the bud, Julie.
Yeah. Fess up.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You were looking for something clever from us, but you didn't get it. Sorry.
Didn't get it.
See you later.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Now, do you follow this advice yourself?
Well, only if I can get away with it, do I lie. I mean, if you can get away with it without a secondary...
Without
follow-up lies.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're smart enough, you can foresee all the different ramifications.
No, that's why I tell the truth, because I'm not that smart.
And you have to remember.
I'm smart enough to know that I'm not that smart.
See, I know my wife has never lied to me about anything, because she at least has...
Well, no. Wait. I heard her say you were cute once.
No, I mean... unless she is even more duplicitous than I think she is.
Uh-huh.
But she has convinced me that she cannot lie. The phone rings, right? And you say, no matter who it is, hon, I'm not here. She picks up the phone.
She says,
"Hello,
Doug. Hi, Doug."
And he's not here. He said to say he's not here. She can't do it.
Uh-huh.
Now, it may just be that she's convinced me of that, and she's lying to me all the time.
Yeah, maybe even about that.
Maybe even about that.
Well.
I never lie to my wife, though. I know that. I've never lied to her.
Okay.
And at least I'm not going to admit it on the radio.
That's for sure. Hey, look, before we take more calls, I believe we have to take a break.
Ah, so that's why our producer, Dougie, is making that sign. That spiral motion with his hand, that means wrap it up, right?
Well, not when he's making it next to his head like that. That means your brother's really nuts today.
No, that can't be true. He does it like every 15, 20 minutes.
Go think about that, will you?
We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Heading home late at night, blinded by two white lights. Rearview mirror, all I could see, big and bright, and it was coming at me. Thought I saw a UFO try to run me off the road. A blue Suburban, seats 15. Good God, man, how big a car do you need? There's a Hummer ahead, I just don't understand. Why not just get a Jeep and then torch 80 grand? The crowd in the freeways lined up round the block. I wouldn't mind it so much if they just learned how to park. Roads are such a mess, everyone's compensating for something, I guess.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the lists, like Franz and his like, brother Fred.
Yeah. I mean, all these lists come around the internet, and some of them are really very good. Here's one, real excuses received by school teachers. Whole list of things, I picked out my favorites. Please excuse Roland from PE for a few days. Yesterday, he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip. Please excuse Ray Friday from school. He has very loose vowels. Now, this is the most creative. Please excuse Jennifer for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found it Monday, we thought it was Sunday. That's that list. This is the one that... This is fun things to do in an elevator. And there's a whole list of them, including stare grinning at another passenger for a while and then say, I've got new socks on. Crack open your briefcase or purse and while peering inside say, you got enough air in there? And my personal favorite, grimace painfully while smacking your forehead and muttering, shut up, damn it, all of you just shut up. Elevators are great.
You have a captive audience.
You sure do.
Right. It's
well,
like performing
I'm happy.
In front of prisoners.
I'm happy to all the people on the internet who have nothing to do and can put together lists like this.
Do you realize this is going to be the undoing of our civilization, the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, because it has diminished productivity to the point where we're...
Well, that's okay. As you know, we've always been proponents of decreased productivity.
Oh, I have, certainly. And we've done our bit with our website because you can kill hours.
Oh! I mean, there is nothing more useless.
We say proudly.
Proudly. Yeah. And in fact, we will, of course, post these on the site so that if you didn't hear them or you want to hear the ones that I didn't like, you too can
share
time.
Them.
Yeah.
And you can post them on your website when you get them.
Sure.
In the meantime, if you want to give us a call, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Erica in New Orleans.
Erica.
Erica.
Yes. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is I have a car problem and an interesting situation that adds a twist. So should I give you the problem first?
Sure, just lay it on us.
All
sure.
right. I have an 85 Celica, and it has almost 160,000 miles on it.
Excellent.
It's excellent. The problem is Toyotas are too good because this car, it still runs fairly well. I mean, it's not very nice to look at. It's fallen apart, but it has performed very well. But I think I have a potential major problem, which is this. When the car is in gear and idling, and I have the air conditioner on, which I need to use whenever I'm in the car in New Orleans.
In gear, meaning it's an automatic transmission?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes. So, well, yeah. So when it's in drive or even in reverse and the air conditioning is on, it makes, from the bottom of the car, I don't know where, this horrible metallic rattling, shaking.
Sure,
current.
Yeah. Problem.
And what, so what happens is when I come to a stop sign or a stoplight, what I'd have to do is I have to pop it into neutral. Mm-hmm. And then it goes away. It doesn't happen. But when it's in gear, and it's, I mean, I was outside of the car when my boyfriend was driving the other day. I could hear it down the street. It's really embarrassing.
Well, Dougie Berman, our producer, had his hand up going, ooh, call on me, Mr. Cartier.
Well, wait a minute. Can I give you the situation?
Yeah.
Okay. That part of the question
is simple and straightforward.
Oh.
But give us the complication now.
Well, it's interesting. And yeah. I am an impoverished graduate student, and my parents bought this car for me when I was in college. Mm. And they know that I will be an impoverished graduate student probably until the next millennium.
You've been in college since 85?
No, they bought it for me. They bought it for me with quite a few miles on it, knowing it wasn't going to last forever.
Right.
So I get this, I haven't had that many problems with it. But I get this email from them a couple weeks ago, and my dad said, by the way, how is the car holding up? Do we need to think about helping you get, a trade-up? So I'm thinking, I happen to be going home to visit them for my birthday in a couple weeks, and I'm thinking, can I play this out into some sort of major trauma?
See, I could see immediately that when I said that problem that you gave us was relatively simple and straightforward. I noticed a little, not a little, but I sensed a dejection on your part. You were very disappointed to hear that. You
a
were
bit.
Hoping that we would say, that's the end of this baby.
Yeah, the rod bearings are gone.
Right.
That's what the noise is. You
but
want
I suppose
to tell
that's
you that?
Good news for the car.
I mean, we can tell you that if
okay,
that's
well,
what you want. If you think your parents are listening. And you've sent us the requisite $20 bill.
We
can give you any answer you want.
I don't want to be racked with guilt, though. I would hate to be deceitful. So maybe I should wait until there's a true emergency, like, the engine block cracks or something, and then I could really...
We can tell you how to do that, by the way.
No.
How much
I know
longer?
How to do that, too. Then my dad would kill me, actually, because he's really big on always putting oil in it.
How much longer do you tend to milk this? Stay in graduate school.
Well, it's, things, PhDs, they don't just hand out.
Is
it
a PhD in art history?
Something even less marketable. Can you believe that? I know you're going to make fun of me.
What?
Yeah, we are.
I'm doing a PhD in anthropology.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Well, but I'm. It's a very
we
narrow...
We need people to write for National Geographic.
Exactly. And, I do prehistoric Maya stuff, and that's really in vogue right now.
Great.
So,
See, I don't think it's less marketable than art history.
Art history
is totally unmarketable. There are six jobs in the entire, world.
I know.
On the planet. Yeah, but think of all the tour guide jobs available
in
Cancun.
Exactly.
You could be in Cancun on Monday.
What a better place to work right there. Than
not a bad advice. Place to work.
Well, for every obscure and bizarre subject that you could possibly dream up, there's five people who study it.
Yeah, and you're one of them.
Here's
a story with your car, if you're interested. I know you're
big. This is not anymore.
No, can tell me, because I need to fix it. It's embarrassing.
Either the four bolts that hold the compressor to the bracket are falling out, so when you engage the compressor, you actually make it compress the refrigerant, it's shaking, and that's what that blah, 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 blah. Or the compressor is going bad. Or the compressor clutch is going bad. One of those three things.
And
Or it simply could be. in my humble opinion.
That the idle is too low.
The idle is too low or not very smooth. And when you stop and you're in drive, the whole engine is shaking. And
but
that's causing whatever it is under there to vibrate. And Dougie thinks it's the heat shield on the catalytic converter.
Which fell off 3 years ago.
Well, wait, let me talk to
Which
Dougie.
It may well
let
be.
Talk to Dougie.
I mean, neither of these things would be terribly expensive to fix.
Well, that's good news for my budget.
It's good news for your budget, and I think the car will last. I mean, first of all, how much driving do you do with the car?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
No.
So this will certainly get you through a PhD.
Well, Erica, good luck with your car.
Thank you.
Dad's off the hook for a while.
Well, he'll be relieved.
I think.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Thanks for calling.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ed calling from Wilmington.
Wilmington, Delaware?
Wilmington, Mass.
Mass?
Yeah, just up the street.
Right up the street.
Yeah, in fact, I worked in your fair city for 36 years at that university.
Which one?
Right, a local guy.
Yeah.
You mean the one in the square?
Yeah, down the square. I worked right near there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I used to go work there. I just retired. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this car. It's an 85 Chrysler New Yorker with a turbo 2.2 engine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know the history. The car's got very low miles, 34,000. We inherited it from my wife's aunt. It's in beautiful shape.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
They're all
blue. It's that kind of dark blue that looks like gray.
Is the trunk all faded?
No, it's in beautiful shape. It's all been
correct. You want to sell the trunk? Because we need a trunklet. Dad has exactly the same car.
Yeah.
Our dad has the same car.
Uh-huh.
85.
And it's got also 34,000 miles on it.
Really?
Because he doesn't go anywhere.
And the paint on his trunk is all faded. So if we can talk you out of this car, we'll buy it from you for $100. So go ahead, anyway.
Anyway, there's a butt that goes with all this.
Yeah, but. It runs great. It's in beautiful shape, but.
But when you park it on a hill, put it in park, it's near impossible to get out. Now, I came up with a plan, you see.
Good.
The plan was on a hill, if you're parallel parked, just let the car roll to the car in front of you and leave it neutral.
And hope he doesn't leave before you.
Right. You're all set, except there's a couple of flaws in the plan.
One of them.
If the guy sees you doing it, he won't like it.
No.
And if he should leave before you, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
The question is, why is this happening? It's very difficult. I'm afraid we're going to break the shift linkage trying to get it out of park.
Well, you might.
Well,
yeah,
some cars are difficult, especially front-wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
Seem to be difficult to get out of park if they're facing up or downhill.
It seems to me like it's a design
thing. It is a design thing, and here's the way to fix it without fixing it.
Yeah.
Before you put the thing in park, you set the handbrake.
Oh, I've done that.
So before you take your foot off the brake pedal.
Yeah.
You put the parking brake on?
Oh, I've tried that. It works.
In other words, you leave your foot brake on, you step on the handbrake,
which
is a foot pedal on this thing, and then
when
you've let the car roll as far as it wants to roll in under those conditions, you then put it in park.
I've done that.
And that doesn't work?
It works fine. The only thing is I have this inherent distrust of parking brakes. I'm sorry.
If you do this, you don't have to really trust the parking brake.
Because you
have the parking brake, which is holding the car, but you also have the transmission holding the car.
Yes, yes.
Except that the transmission is being backed up. Rather, the transmission is acting as a backup now for the parking brake.
Right. So if the parking brake should fail, the transmission will keep you from rolling.
Right.
But you won't be in the trouble that you're in because it will be easy to get out of park.
I know that. Yes, I've tried
and
that.
And then when you go to leave the spot, you start the engine, you put it in drive or reverse or whatever, and then you release the emergency brake.
Well, what I was looking for is a fix for the problem.
You don't want to know the fix.
No. Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, new transmission, what?
Sure. But, short of spending real money on this thing and maybe not even fixing it to your satisfaction, I would use the technique you've been using.
So that's the only suggestion?
I think so.
I guess that's about the size. But I wanted to see if you'd heard anything like, if there'd been a problem with these right along that could be fixed.
Well, I don't think so, but I'm sure we'll get calls from about 500 transmission shops.
Yeah. If we do, we'll call you back and let you know what they say.
All right.
See you, Ed.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
Terrific talking with you.
Bye-bye.
Same here.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Sarah Adams from Streetsboro, Ohio.
Hi, Sarah. From where?
Streetsboro, Ohio.
Sarah?
Streetsboro.
Yes.
With an O?
Just with an O, none of that English UGH stuff.
Yeah.
Streetsboro.
Totally American.
You said that as though we should have heard of Streetsboro before.
Well, it's nowhere between Cleveland and Akron. Oh. So you shouldn't have heard of it.
You are really in the middle of nowhere.
Really, we are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's bad when they have to name your city after a street.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway.
Okay, well.
Well.
What's up, Sarah?
Well, I have a 96 Chevy Tahoe. The question is, where would a chicken hide on the exterior of the car?
On the other side of the street. Huh? Where? So you mean as you're driving along, you can hear a chicken?
I mean, well, doesn't anyone screen these calls anymore?
I'm so worried I have a stowaway because this one time our chicken took quite a ride, and I don't know where she's hiding and how did she get there and how do I know when I have her? And when am I taking her?
Wait, can we back up
a little here? I get the scenario. Sarah has parked the vehicle.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Well, we left the garage when it was dark.
What garage?
Our garage.
From your house.
So a chicken obviously puts herself to bed at night the night before.
Yeah.
Okay, so we left early when it's dark to go to the airport for my daughter's field trip.
Yeah.
All right, it's February and it's cold. We hear nothing. We see nothing.
Yeah.
We get to the airport. I'm there an hour or so.
And you hear that
at the airport. Now, when I come back to my car, I see nothing. I hear nothing. But the sun has come up.
Yeah.
During which time, normally, a chicken gets up. She gets herself up out of the barn. Okay, so then I drive, again, 65 miles an hour, but I stop at church. Huh? I go into the church, and within minutes, people come in and say, Sarah, your chicken is in the parking lot.
Oh, I think it's obvious.
How did she do that?
I think your chicken just went to church. I think you're assuming that the chicken went to the airport with you, but the chicken probably just walked to church.
No, not 2 miles. She never goes past the barn.
Well, the chicken, if it really is your chicken. I mean, when you got home.
Well, I knew it was because her comb froze a little bit. It was so cold, and it had grayed out a little bit before it fell off.
Ah.
So I knew it was Edna.
Yeah, and she answered when you called her, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
Edna, and she looked at you. She was. I mean, any chicken.
And immediately I suspected my husband, but he's totally innocent, and we don't know where was she on the car and when will she do it again.
Well, I know where she was.
I do, too.
She's under the hood.
But
there's no place.
Guys say she'd be sucked into the fan or the fan belt or whatever.
No.
What guys? Who says?
We're landscapers, and all the guys had quite a lot of discussion about where she would be.
Well, these guys that know everything.
Quite a lot of discussion, and the guys said no way under the hood.
Well, under the hood of that Tahoe, there are plenty of places for your chicken to roost.
So to speak.
65 miles an hour?
Once she's under there.
She ain't going to fly out once you're moving.
I mean, you could go 200 miles an hour.
All right, so I have to check under the hood for Edna to see if she's
I think there's no question that Edna is being attracted to the warmth under the hood.
Sure, you pulled into the garage in the evening. The engine was warm. She was cold, and she said, "Oh, it's nice and warm under here." And she climbed up under something, who knows what, in the engine compartment there, and she's nestled down. And all of a sudden, there you were driving away. Cats do this all the time.
Yeah, she may be sitting on the master cylinder or some such thing.
There
are plenty of places for her to sit.
No kidding.
Absolutely. And she wouldn't get sucked into the fan. Don't forget, if she's on the downside of the wind, the wind from the fan would tend to blow her against the firewall. She may be smushed against the firewall as you're going 65 miles an hour.
All right, so check under the hood if I'm suspicious, if the garage door has been left open.
Exactly.
Got it.
She clearly needs a warmer place to stay. I mean, you're not providing enough.
Well, she loves the barn. Now, we never got her. She just showed up, you know.
The SPCC is going to be
She was looking for a fine home, and she loves it here.
Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Chickens.
I was working on that.
I knew you were with me on that.
So
she greets the customers when they come in and struts around the parking lot and looks cool and escorts some people to the door.
How long have you been out of the home, Sarah?
And is it just on weekends that they let you out?
Do they let you out like every day or what?
daily.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a break.
How long a break?
Enough for us to review everything we know about cars.
So we'll be back in like a minute?
Right.
So the carburetor's shot, tires all got dry rot, transmission's gonna drop, but we're not pulling over. Engine block, it's got a crack. See the smoke, it's a blowing black. Muffler just blew its stacked, but we're not pulling over. Hallelujah. Here we go. Hallelujah. Open road.
And even though the NPR doorman mutters something about the doorknob and the way out every time he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the Puzzler refuelification. Now, I guess there were some rumblings about the
hot air balloon Puzzler? Yeah. Come on, if that's not a sign of scraping the bottom of the barrel.
All right. I'm conceding. You got to kick a guy when he's down?
Yeah, bend over.
Well, as you may know, we've sent the Puzzler on vacation, and we're posting archival Puzzlers every week this summer on our website, cartalk.com.
And if you could help my brother in the upcoming Puzzler season,
oh, yeah,
please help him. The guy is really scraping the bottom. He's desperate. If you have even a mediocre Puzzler suggestion, please mail it to him from cartalk.com.
Or write it on the back of a half-decaf, no-foam latte and mail it to Good Puzzler Division, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
In the meantime, if you got a question about your car or anything else, the number here is 888-CAR-TALK, which is 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Alexander in New York City.
Alexander, do you use the whole name?
Most often, yeah, although a lot of people call me Alex, and in high school I was Al.
Yeah.
Or Yo Al.
Yo Al.
Yo Al.
Okay, you'll be Yo Al.
Yo Al.
Wasn't that Superman's father?
No, that's the...
Kal El.
That's the Israeli airline, Yo Al.
What's up, Al?
Well, I have to preface my question by saying that my father was Leonard Bernstein.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he had a sort of lifelong quest for the perfect convertible.
Did he really?
To menace everybody else on the road with.
I always knew I liked that guy. Really? He was a convertible person?
Yeah, in the olden days when his show was sponsored by Ford Lincoln.
Maria!
Yeah.
Oh, don't get him started.
It's just medical.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear you sing that.
But I have to say that of everything he ever did, nothing was as inspired as Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, let it sink back in the ocean. That was inspired, man.
Well, I think you got to give Steve Sondheim credit for that.
Well, yeah, he did the words, right?
Yeah. Most of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you in the music business, Alex?
Oh, no.
Ander?
No, I took some piano lessons and...
And
it wasn't in your heart, huh?
So, I mean, what do you do, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm a teacher by trade.
Of?
Of English and drama.
Ah, so the arts are still in there. I mean, I didn't figure you for a concrete contractor.
Sometimes I wish I were.
I wish you were, right.
No, I also run a foundation that my father started, Arts and Education.
Ah, Foundation Concrete Foundation.
And you
work
right in Manhattan?
Uh-huh.
And you live in Manhattan?
And I live in Manhattan.
And have you got a car?
Yes, I have a car.
It always amazes me that you could live in Manhattan and have a car.
It amazes me, too.
But there are, I suppose, millions of people who do it.
Well, we had a call a few weeks ago from a woman who had recently moved to New York and was complaining that her the spot for her car costs more a month than her apartment.
It's true. It's unbelievable.
There's something wrong with that, isn't there?
Well, it's telling you something, though. It's telling you that you shouldn't have a car or you shouldn't be living in New York.
But you have a car, and obviously you have a question.
Which doesn't even have a view or anything.
Yeah, we've managed to avoid your question for quite a while here, so we'll let you ask it.
Yeah, what's the problem?
All right, it's not a problem. But when I was 12, we spent the summer in Italy, and my father, one of his convertibles, he decided to buy a Maserati. Mm. And so he was in love with this car, and the guy that sold it to him said that when he downshifted, he should do this thing called double clutching. You know, where you on the way down, while you're in neutral, you...
Let the clutch out.
Let the clutch out, then
you put it back in again.
And then you put it back in. So I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. And then when I got my first car, a horrible Capri, used Capri. I started doing this, and I've been doing it ever since because I just remembered how cool it was. My father did it in the Maserati.
Now, this Maserati was like a 50-something?
Oh, it was, it must have been 68, 67.
A 67 Maserati.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was brand new.
It was brand new.
I think this Italian mechanic gave your father bogus information.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given, isn't it? That was redundant. I'm sorry. 67. I mean, it's so unlike. The only reason that you would ever have to double clutch is if you don't have a synchronized transmission. The transmission doesn't have what we call synchros in it.
Synchro mesh transmission. And,
right.
And the Maserati must have had a synchro mesh transmission. I mean, by that time, virtually everyone had one. Certainly a high-end car like that would have had it.
Sure.
Which would obviate the necessity
of double clutching.
Double clutching. The reason you would double clutch is to match the gear speed so that you wouldn't get gear clash when you shifted, especially downshifting. So you would let the clutch out while the thing was in neutral, and you change the engine speed, usually bring it up if you were upshifting so that the gears would be turning at the same speed so they wouldn't clash and grind when you made your shift. And it would take some practice to figure out exactly how much gas you would have to give it between shifts. Otherwise, you would put it into the next gear, and as you tried to get it into gear, you'd get this...
Right. Because the engine would be turning at a much different speed from the transmission, and you'd have to... that wonderful grinding noise.
Right.
And I have to say, though, that once you had learned the technique of double clutching, it is a magnificent way to drive.
Oh, I love it.
Totally unnecessary, but it makes you feel...
Like you're racing.
Like you're really doing something.
And you will never unlearn this. I mean, you've been doing this for years, obviously.
Yeah.
You'll never unlearn it. But it looks cool, doesn't it? I mean, do people ask you all the time what you're doing?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you say,
and it feels cool, too.
And you say, I'm double clutching.
That's right.
And they say, wow.
And there's nothing wrong with doing it, really.
Oh, that's.
I mean, it does put a little extra wear on the clutch and the release bearing and the clutch cable and the linkage and the pedal assembly and all that.
Have you been running through a lot of clutches on all these cars that you've owned in the past 10 years?
No, as a matter of fact, I never did.
You never did?
No. Everything else has gone wrong with that.
So what is it that you're driving anyway?
Saab.
A Saab.
900.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, well, I would continue doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm relieved to know that I'm not ruining my car.
Well,
you're not ruining your car.
You are ruining your car.
No, don't tell him that.
But, I mean, we can be honest. Alex is an adult here. He can take it. You are, but in the long run, what's the difference? You're never going to break yourself of this habit. So it's better that we just tell you that you're not ruining your car, and you can go off happy and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, just forget you ever called us. But if nothing else, it will remind you, every time you double clutch, it will remind you of that wonderful summer you spent in Italy.
Yeah.
It'll remind you of your dad.
Exactly.
And the joy he's brought to everyone.
Yeah. And that's the reason
why you should continue to do it.
And in fact, I think everyone who has a manual transmission should double clutch in honor of Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, I am going to start double clutching my car. And every time you do it, you say, Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion.
Well, someone's going to have to write a song for us, and I'm sure one of our listeners in your father's inimitable style will be able to write a song using his music and putting words which have double clutching.
I'm sure someone will do that
as a theme. Great idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. We should all double clutch in honor of Leonard. And when people say, what are you doing? I'm Bernsteining. You mean you don't do that when you drive? Ah, everyone will do it.
Oh, so we can change the whole
terminology.
We can change the
whole thing and then think 100 years from now when people are trying to figure out what the hell is this called Bernsteining for? Nobody will know. Just like now you dial the phone. It's got no dial.
Right.
But you dial it.
All right.
20 years from now, even now, kids say, why is it called a dial?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dial. It's push buttons.
Yeah.
So this will become known as Bernsteining the clutch.
Or burning out the clutch.
Or burning out the clutch. Hey, Alexander, thanks a million for your call.
Thank you, guys. You're my heroes.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bernsteining the clutch. I love it.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Denise from Evanston, Illinois.
Hi, Denise.
Denise, is your brother named Denefew?
Oh, God.
Very good.
Where are you from?
Evanston, Illinois.
Evanston.
Northwestern University.
Are you a college professor? That was my next question.
I am not, actually. I used to be, but at the Art Institute, actually, I am a fashion designer, so nothing
no
like
kidding.
It.
No kidding. Really? We've been looking for someone to help with our wardrobe.
Ever since Mr. Gigi left the fold, so to speak, we've been in a fashion drought.
We certainly have.
I've seen you guys. You look pretty good.
Oh, we could commission you to create the car talk look.
Look.
You know, like the regular guy look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Well, we may need you.
Okay,
we'll see how we do with our first interview here. So what's going on, Denise?
Oh, I'm really hoping you'll help me make a decision. Last summer, I was having one of those kind of important midlife birthdays, and I decided I needed to recapture my college days. So I decided I needed to have the 1961 Volvo P544.
Really?
Yeah.
So you found one?
Well, yeah, but I found it on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it on the web.
Oh,
you did. Well, whatever you paid for it, I hope you've got about 100 times that amount left over to fix it.
I feared you would say that.
For those of you that don't remember the P544, it was a...
How could you forget it?
It looked like a smaller version of American cars of the 40s.
Yeah.
With the rounded back. It looked like the kind of a car that Jimmy Cagney... Humphrey Bogart rode in High Sierra with Ida Lupino at his side. But it was the Volvo version of that thing. It was pretty distinctive looking.
Yeah.
How much did they sell? Did you pay for this?
Well, did
you pay more than like double digits for it?
Wait, I don't. I'm not sure what double digits means. Like you mean
under $99.
Come on, the shipping alone must have cost a couple of G's.
Oh, I can't even tell you.
We don't want to know, Denise. It will do nothing but damage your reputation.
It doesn't matter because it's sunk cost. What's the question?
Well, so the question is, should I bother with this car? Let me tell you that it came, what she called, in driving condition, and they couldn't take it off the truck because it had no brakes.
Well, she didn't say stopping condition. She said driving condition.
That's right, and I cannot get, I've called every Volvo mechanic in the city, and they won't even look at it.
Really?
Really. And so Lenny.
Lenny.
Here
we go.
Right away, I like Lenny.
Well, Lenny is sort of my handyman around the house.
Oh.
And Lenny claims to also be a mechanic.
Oh.
Well, for this car, he might be.
This is my question. If I decide to restore it, which Lenny says, it's everything. New engine, new carburetor, new...
All right, so now you're going to... What did you pay?
I paid $3,000 for it.
Oh, jeez, Denise! Is there anyone close enough to give you a dope slap?
Oh, please. My husband, it's taken everything in his power to not say... I told you so.
What a saint he must be.
He is a saint.
Well,
my
I mean...
God.
I wouldn't condemn Denise right away. Because, first of all, if the body is in good shape,
mm-hmm.
and structurally the thing is good, then $3,000 may not have been so much to pay. And even though it may look like a complete loss right now,
yeah.
it may well be that when you find the right guy, and it might not be Lenny.
No.
For example, if you lived here in the Boston area, we would send you to Fred, and he would take it as his child, and he would nurture it.
And he would embrace it and caress it and drain your bank account, but in the process.
You would come to love Fred despite the cost.
I need a Fred.
And at some point, and he would even allow visitation rights. You could come once a month, once every 2 months. And you could visit with the 544.
First of all, there's got to be an
Fred.
Equivalent of Fred Swanson in Evanston.
You know, I looked on your website even with the good mechanic.
Yeah, no, that you don't want a good mechanic. You want an old one. good. At this point, good is not the primary criterion. No, you need to find. You need to log on to the Volvo Car Club of America site.
Okay.
And believe me, there are jillions of these 544s around.
that's the problem. I see ones. I mean, I was so impulsive.
Now they're all over the place.
Right, and I could have. Oh God.
Well, the alternative then is to buy another one. This will really test your husband. and maybe with the two of them, it'll be easier to make the two into one car. See, making one into one car might prove difficult.
Yeah.
But if you bought a second one, yeah, and it doesn't even have to be the same year because the parts didn't change dramatically from one year to the next,
right,
you may be able to cobble together a car that could get you around by maybe next summer.
Yeah.
So you might want to investigate that, or you might want to just ditch this car and get another one entirely. And if you got one the same color, your husband wouldn't even know. You could do the swap like one afternoon while he's at work.
I think she's going to make this one go.
Well, Denise, you have your work cut out for you, but I can tell that you are equal to the task, and then some.
I love that car.
You've got to use the web. You've got to use the web, and you will find some.
And I wouldn't limit yourself to Illinois.
No.
You may have to go to Indiana. You may have to go out of state. See you, Denise.
Thank you so much.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
I know. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What we do as we get older, you try to recapture.
Yeah, you can't go home again.
Halcyon days.
You can't go home again.
No, and especially not if you're driving a 61
right. P5. Right, you can't even get halfway home.
You can get home again in the tow truck.
You can't even get out of the driveway.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Klamath Falls, Mrs. Paul's, Catfish Balls, Chicken Schmalls, Six of Talls, and Mentholated Halls, Free Lunch Crawls is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our used car salesperson of the month is Meg Meehanhoffa. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Our director of vengeance is Ewell Rudy Day. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Latte Army Infantry in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Oh, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 930, dig into the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, sign up for an email summary of each weekend's Car Talk show delivered to your inbox every Monday morning.
Oh, that's going to get old pretty fast. Caller asks a question. Tom and Ray screw up the answer. Caller asks a question. Tom and Ray screw up the answer. I mean...
No. It's going to be a much more detailed summary. We're going to tell you how we screwed up each answer.
Oh, that's much better.
Sign up for a weekly email summary of our show in case you missed one.
Every chance I get.
CarTalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR softball team tries to trade us to the History Channel whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.